We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, and now on ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you on pseudo-declaration day in the NBA. That's the best way to describe it, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to. This was supposed to be the deadline day. It is technically a deadline day for NBA players to do, let their team know if they're going to show up to the bubble or not, or first to their home city, and then they all fly to the bubble. But it's kind of a soft deadline. It's really going to be more around the July 1st area when teams have to really kind of submit the 13 to 17 players that they're going to take to said bubble in Orlando. So kind of a soft landing zone right now.
Yep. So for more on that and help trying to navigate everything that's going on with the landing zone in the NBA right now and around the world of sports, we're delighted to be joined by Stephen A. Smith, host of First Take. You see on ESPN every day. Stephen A., good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing? Hope you and your families are well.
Thank you. Same to you. And listen, we know we've got a lot of news in the world of sports, but we wanted to start with the NBA with you. We know everything's been agreed upon now. Everyone's getting ready to come back, and we started to see some positive tests. Nikola Jokic among them, testing positive for COVID-19. Avery Bradley making the decision to not play because of a potential issue with a family member being able to go. Have you been surprised by any of the news that we've gotten surrounding the NBA's return so far?
Not at all. It's predictable that, a player or a few players are going to test positive for the coronavirus, particularly considering the global iconic brand that the NBA has become. And as a result, you have players from all over the world. You know that inevitably something like that is going to happen, as it has in other sports like tennis with Djokovic and those guys. So we understand that. In the case of Avery Bradley, he's got a six-year-old son that has had respiratory illnesses in the past that was difficult for him to recover from. You certainly understand his focus and where his attention lies, and anybody who makes the decision not to play because of the coronavirus, the pandemic, and how that could potentially jeopardize them. Everybody understands that. You get it. You prepare for that. You move forward. The only thing that took me aback was when you had players talking about not playing because they didn't want to take any focus away from the movement. And my attitude is you can do both. The platform that the NBA affords you, combined with the support of organizations, of great, great coaches like Doc Rivers and Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr and those guys, to the commissioner, Adam Silver, who's himself, who has never prohibited or tried to inhibit a guy's willingness and ability to express himself. I think that the support of the NBA, the brand that it is, the manner in which they've conducted themselves, particularly under the stewardship of Adam Silver, there is no reason on earth for any player to say, well, I don't want to play because I want to focus on these protests and the things that have been taking place in this country. There is nothing stopping you from doing both. And that's the only thing that, threw me aback to some degree. Folks who were of that opinion, but nothing else.
All right, Stephen A. with us this morning. So let's focus on the playing aspect of you, because it's going to be so restrictive and it's going to be a difficult situation. How optimistic are you that this is going to go off without a hitch?
Well, I got to admit to you, I was very, very optimistic weeks ago, even up until last week. But the more you see the news of these spikes out, there's been spikes in about 23 different states. And you've heard ad nauseum about how the governor of Florida has opened the state a little bit too soon, how they've been a bit lax in terms of, imploring folks to engage in social distancing and to wear their mask and gloves and things of that nature. The safety protocols that should have been put in place has been questioned. There's been questions as to whether or not that has been handled effectively. A matter of fact, there really hasn't been too many questions. People have decried how ineffective they have been in the state of Florida for the most part. So that takes me back to some degree, because I'm saying, excuse me, if something like that continues to happen, obviously, Disney World is Disney World. The NBA has already reached an agreement with Walt Disney. We understand all of that. But I went on First Take the other day and I said, you know something? Why not New York? Now, I understand it's late notice and people are averse to that kind of thinking. But what I would remind people is that New York was the epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic in this country at one point. And it is now reopened. It's in phase two. Governor Andrew Cuomo has been praised for doing an absolutely sensational job with all of this. He has clearly flattened the curve and done even better than that. And so when you look at it from that perspective and you combine that with the hotels that are available, the restaurants reopening, at least outdoors, the fact that you wouldn't feel as congested and as strapped as you would in other places, potentially in Florida or what's been going on there. To me, that is an option that should be explored. That's just my opinion. I'm in a strong minority because at this late of notice, people are saying there's no way in hell that could work. But my mentality is that there should always be a plan B. I was saying this on First Take the other day, and in the midst of saying that, I got a text message from one of the league owners who said, there is no plan B, Stephen A. It's Florida or nothing.
I have a feeling for a lot of these sports coming back, it's where they're going to do it or what their plan is or nothing. So we'll have to wait and see. Along these lines, Stephen A., go back to the days when you were on the court and preparing to play on the court. My biggest worry, and I wonder where your concern is, where these players haven't been with each other, they're going to come back and play in a shortened season. My worry is that quad, is that hamstring, is that calf, is that soft tissue injury happening more, and oh, by the way, how that can keep you out for a few weeks, which could be half of the rest of the season now.
Well, first of all, a couple of things. Number one, let me make sure to show nothing but the utmost respect to my colleagues from the Jalen Rose, the Jay Williams of the world, and various others, to even people like yourself, Golic. Don't compare me to y'all. Y'all played. I tried to play. That's number one. Let's get that out the way. Okay, number two, I would say this to you. Certainly, those are things to be concerned about, but that's the part about all of this I love, because as a guy that has covered the sport for a quarter century now, I have always tried to remind people, like when I raved about Michael Jordan and the Kobe Bryants of the world and the LeBron James of today and stuff like that, I've never stopped at just their heroics on the court. I have always applauded and revered their level of preparation that they were willing to put into the game to make sure that they elevated their level of greatness at every single opportunity. And so when you're looking at something like this going on right now in the world where we've got COVID-19 pandemic taking place and the game has been stripped from us for the last 3+ months, et cetera, what I love about the idea of the NBA coming back is we're going to find out who the true professionals are. What were you doing to take care of yourself while you were not playing? That comes with it. It's not just about stepping on the court and dunking or shooting threes or handling the basketball, rebounding, defending, or whatever. What kind of shape are you in? How focused and attentive were you towards being in peak condition? So upon your return, there is no doubt about your greatness and the professionalism that you attach to that greatness. All of that comes in line. You are a professional athlete. You know exactly what I'm talking about here. You didn't just show up on the field come training camp. You didn't just show up in preseason or the postseason. It was a year-round job in order for you to be an NFL player. It was a year-round job in order for all of those athletes who have ultimately worked for ESPN and beyond to be ready to ball. You didn't just show up when it was game time. And that separates the boys from the men. And when we think about guys that we applaud, especially when we want to influence a younger generation, let's remember we're not just applauding these guys' greatness in terms of what they do on camera. It's when they showcase, obviously, what they must have been doing off camera to prepare themselves for that moment. Those are all the things that we should be preaching about, what you put into your body, how you take care of your body, the level of focus and dedication that you put forth every single day in order to make yourself ready. Remember, the NBA never canceled the season. It suspended the season, and there was always a possibility that you would return. If you are one of these guys that are going to be playing in the playoffs, what the hell were you doing during this time off when you knew that the season wasn't canceled? I love the fact that we're going to find that out.
Stephen A. Smith with us here on Golic and Wingo. So, Stephen A., you mentioned that part of it, and it's well-served, and my mind immediately goes to someone like LeBron James, who we know takes such unbelievable care of his body, is the consummate professional in all of those ways, but is also an older player. And I'm curious, do you think with this shortened timeline that it maybe puts some of the advantage, just because of youth and what the schedule is going to demand on these guys, in favor of maybe a younger player who's also handling their business, but certainly might have a body that's more willing to withstand this?
Well, you can make that argument and nobody could refute it. What I would say to you is that if you had, and somewhat rhetorically, if you had to bet your money on a young player who was just healthy and vibrant, or LeBron James, where are you putting your money? I know where I'm putting my money. It's going to be on LeBron James, because over the course of 17 years, we have never in 17 years see him ill-prepared physically to perform, ever, with the exception of the cramps that he suffered from in the finals against the San Antonio Spurs when he had to be carried to the bench. That's about it. Outside of that, we've never seen LeBron James ill-prepared physically. And so for me, I think that the younger players are in a world of trouble, because you had a better shot going into the playoffs wondering whether or not he would hit a wall, because he had been playing most games this year and they were going straight into the playoffs. You trying to tell me that LeBron James, with the manner in which he takes care of his body and his level of dedication and focus and know-how, this dude gets a three-month break before the postseason starts? I expect LeBron James to be arguably the healthiest dude in the league once NBA play resumes.
So with that, Stephen A., let's talk about the Lakers, who are obviously all in on this thing, and it would be a significant achievement for LeBron to win a title with a third different team. Where are you on the loss of Avery Bradley? How much that hurts that possibility? Because he was balling out before we suspended the season. He was a big part of that win over the Clippers. I think he had 29 points in that game. And does JR have to wear a shirt in the bubble?
Well, listen, first of all, yeah, he needs to wear a shirt in the bubble. Definitely so. but to get back, listen, I like the fact that J.R. Smith, it appears that he's going to be the guy. He's a Rich Paul client. We all know what our most memorable, what's the indelible memory that J.R. Smith left behind in terms of his postseason play. It's when he forgot that the score was tied and, you know, allowed the clock to run out and ended up going into overtime in game one, basically ruining a 51-point explosion by LeBron James. I love the fact that J.R. Smith is still tight with LeBron. I've seen him with LeBron since that time. LeBron loves the guy. And J.R. Smith is I don't know if you guys noticed that, he's a really, really good guy. He really is. And he's a guy that if you put him out there, I just love the idea of him getting an opportunity to make amends for that experience by being a teammate of LeBron James again. Avery Bradley was only averaging 8 points a game. Yeah, you're right. He did have a big game before the season was suspended. We get all of that. But people forget what a damn good perimeter defender J.R. Smith was as well. Avery Bradley obviously is a big-time defender, especially on-ball defender. But J.R. Smith can defend. I remember when J.R. Smith was in Cleveland and there was a discussion as to whether or not he was their best defender, because that's how good he was as a defensive player, particularly on the perimeter. And we all know that he's very streaky and he has the ability to make big shots. So with that reality in mind, what I would say is I like the idea of J.R. Smith being a guy to replace Avery Bradley, because I think he's every bit as capable of exploding for a game or two like Avery Bradley did. I definitely think he's capable of averaging 8 points a game, and I certainly believe he's capable of defending exceptionally well, even though Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Rajon Rondo, Alex Caruso, those guys are going to be ahead of him. It wouldn't surprise me at all if J.R. Smith found his way into that rotation, and I love the fact that he's going to have an opportunity to make amends as LeBron James' teammate on the Lakers. I think it's a good thing. I'm happy for him, and I wish him luck. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that this is going to be a good move for the Lakers.
Stephen A. Smith with us on Golic and Wingo. Let's shift over to NASCAR, something I'm sure you'll be talking about on First Take today. So just your thoughts on the fact now that we found out the story initially reported was wrong. The FBI goes in and says, finds out that the rope that tied like a noose in that garage had been there since last October. And then we know all the fallout since, and we've heard a lot of talk since. What was your initial thought?
Well, my initial thought is let's not blame Bubba Wallace for anything. First of all, he didn't find the noose in his locker. You know, one of his crewmen found it. That's number one. He didn't make this up. He was told what was found. The NASCAR immediately jumped on it. The FBI got involved. Department of Justice decided to investigate this situation. None of this is Bubba Wallace's doing. And for people out there who want to attack him, continue to be the idiots that you are. You know, the higher something climbs up a tree, the more it shows it's behind, as they say. So that would just be dumb on their part to do that and to have that kind of mentality towards Bubba Wallace. What I would like to add, however, is that it is convenient for the folks running NASCAR today that happened. And here is why. Because obviously those individuals with NASCAR today are relatively progressive with their thinking. And as a result, they wanted to move into a different era and create a new imagery about themselves. And I'm not saying by any means that they put this together or they conspired or there's some kind of conspiracy theory. Please don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm implying here. What I am saying simply is this. It does benefit them because as a result, you saw the Bubba Wallace's car pushed to the front. You saw NASCAR come together as a community to stand behind him and stand with him and say, we will not tolerate one of our drivers being harassed, et cetera, et cetera. You see that the Confederate flags are no longer going to be allowed at their event. All of these things are things that assist in what NASCAR is trying to do in the present day and moving forward. And the fact that that incident happened enabled them to do so more forcefully and more obviously. And so as a result of that, I think ultimately this is something that benefits them. And they should just ride that wave and continue to move forward, because regardless of the fact that it was there before, the bottom line is the history of NASCAR speaks for itself, how it's been non-inclusionary and prejudicial to some degree, at least in the eyes of the African-American community, certainly in the eyes of a Bubba Wallace, as well as many others. It's something that needed to be addressed. It's been addressed. It's going to continue to be addressed. And there's nothing that should stop or stymie that momentum, regardless of what they discovered, that indeed it wasn't a hate crime against Bubba Wallace. That ain't the point in the end. The point is the situation that has existed for decades with NASCAR needed to be changed, and it's in the process of being changed.
Well, in that same race, we saw someone fly over the track with a flag with Star Wars flag. And said defund NASCAR, and there were flags outside it. So you're exactly right to that point. I mean, there's a much larger issue with the fan base that NASCAR is having to deal with. So, Stephen A., we appreciate the time this morning. Thank you, my friend.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate it.
And don't forget, Stephen A. is going to be watching this for sure tonight at 8 p.m. Time for a Change. We won't be defeated. The 1 hour Time for Change will examine black athletes' experiences with injustice and the unifying role that sports continues to play in bridging the divide between law enforcement and people of color in America. SportsCenter anchors L. Duncan and Michael Leaves and Jay Harris will be joined by ESPN college sports reporter and NBA studio host Maria Taylor to host the show. Time for Change will feature a series of roundtable discussions with athletes and other leading voices in sports and culture tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern on ESPN.
And I think what Stephen A. brought up in there is the sentiment. I understand he wasn't pointing towards a conspiracy theory there. But that's what a lot of people are going to run with in all of this one. So it's a good reminder, as he said, that there are certain voices in this conversation you can discount. Anyone who's out here tweeting Jussie Smollett comparisons or anything like that, that's a non-starter. You understand you're dealing with someone who's an idiot, and so you don't need to really engage in that. For everyone else, the people that felt slighted because of the way that this was treated, we talked about the case of, was it Dustin Skinner?
Dustin Skinner. Yeah, Mike Skinner was a former NASCAR driver. Another son owns a team, not a NASCAR team, but owns a racing team. And Dustin Skinner is a part of that crew and also a driving instructor.
And we talked about the comments that were very racially charged, despite what his apology would lead you to believe, about saying he's glad whoever put that noose in there did it, and he wished that it had just been tied around Bubba and they had dragged him around the pit with it. The presence of a statement like that, coupled with what Trey mentioned, the Confederate flag being flown over and outside, and all of these things as a part of the tension there, created a situation where we could look at this and say, all right, in this situation, again, it was a claim that was brought to Bubba Wallace, not one made by Bubba Wallace, but one brought to him. He said Steve Phelps, NASCAR's president, told him, hey, this was reportedly found in your garage right now. We're going to pursue this. Everything that we ended up seeing in NASCAR's statement. They were asked in that situation, hey, investigate this in defense of one of your drivers versus the idea that racism was possible. And all of those other things show you that racism is still something that needs to be reckoned with. It was never positioned as every fan that watches NASCAR is racist. It was never positioned as the entire sport is poisoned and racist and all of this. It was merely in this situation, without having one person that they were trying to vilify or anything, it was the idea that racism and a possible racist act could have been present there, and we needed to make sure we defended our driver, which I will still say is a position that is defensible. If you want to say the way NASCAR then presents that information left something to be desired, absolutely we can have a
totally
conversation
fair. But
about
what
that.
Those drivers did was nothing but spectacular, showing the support for that. And just because you brought it up, but I want to make sure it is out there in the correct form as well. Again, Mike Skinner was a driver in NASCAR. His son, Dustin, competed in one NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race back in 08. The Race Car Solutions website is owned by Mike Skinner's other son, Jamie, who says Dustin has transitioned into a success as a driving coach and crew chief. Well, it was Dustin Skinner who on Facebook, I believe it was, said, I grew up watching NASCAR in my living room before my dad ever made it to NASCAR. We were Dale Earnhardt fans, and my dad became Dale's teammate. I know it's not what you guys want to hear, but my hat is off to whoever put the noose at that car. Frankly, I wish they would have tied it to him and drug him around the pits, because he has single-handedly destroyed what I grew up watching and cared about for 30 years. I will not watch this sport anymore, and that is sad. He has obviously come out and tried to backtrack and apologize, saying it wasn't about race. Dustin, your words mean nothing anymore. His father, Mike, came out and said, we never air family laundry. But in this case, myself and my wife do not at all agree with what our son said and about his opinion about that at all. So they distanced themselves from it. And Dustin, again, has deleted that and come out and tried to apologize. But I think those words said it all right there.
Exactly. And so in every situation, we strive for the truth. And it's great that the truth was found out in this situation and that there weren't people harmed in this and that Bubba Wallace wasn't the victim of a hate crime and all this. All those things are good, but in a world where that is still something that is said in 2020, in a world where the Confederate flag was just in 2020 banned from these events, in a world where we talked to Ryan McGee and he said not every garage's pull cord is tied in that same way when you go to these racetracks, where the FBI agents told NASCAR that if they were presented with this evidence again, they would go and they would review it and investigate it in the same way, where all of those things are possible. Can you not look and see how in a time of heightened sensitivity around this, especially for the sport, that this was the conclusion, that this was more logical than everyone yelling hoax on the other side?
Right, and this is a living example of why that support that they showed for Bubba is going to be necessary going forward as the NASCAR circuit continues. The next stop this week will be at Pocono. Coming up, why players like Maya Moore and Renee Montgomery are taking the phrase bigger than basketball literally.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
All right, Golic and Wingo here with you. Glad you're with us on a Wednesday morning. So we're getting set. It's pseudo-declaration day for the NBA, lack of a better term, as players have to decide, kind of, maybe, sort of, if they're going to the bubble experience for the resumption of the season and the playoffs. Meanwhile, in the WNBA, their bubble is also setting to begin as their season is set to begin. So for more on that and other things that are certainly on the minds of players, we're delighted to be joined now by Cheryl Swoops, four-time WNBA champion and assistant coach at Texas Tech, where she played her college ball, and also, of course, being very active with her own support group that she founded, Back to Our Roots. We're delighted to talk to Cheryl for a variety of reasons. Cheryl, thanks for being with us. First of all, we'll get into everything else in a second, but the idea of playing in this bubble, we've talked to a lot of people about the difficulties that are going to be a part of it. As a player, how would you have reconciled what you're facing going forward?
Wow. First of all, thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to be here and just have an opportunity to talk a little bit. But I don't know. I mean, you know, it's tough. And I said this the other day when I talked to someone, I am never, ever going to tell someone what I think they should or shouldn't do, because everybody's situation is different, whether that's financially, mentally, physically. I know for myself personally, if I was still a player, it would be really, really hard for me to come back and live, not so much just live in a bubble for 4 months, but with everything going on in this country right now, from the coronavirus and obviously with all the hate and racism that's going on, it would be hard for me to come back personally and really focus and concentrate on doing my job as a basketball player when I have so many other thoughts going on in my head.
And certainly one of those thoughts has been everything going on in the world surrounding sports right now, obviously all the inequality that certainly black athletes, people of color have been facing through all this, and the way that athletes are trying to vocalize. How encouraged have you been seeing just how many athletes have now taken up this cause, whether it's, you know, LeBron James and the group of athletes he's put together with More Than a Vote or others, and just how seriously this group of athletes is taking this cause right now?
Well, you know, it, as difficult as it is and as much as it hurts, it still gives me a little hope that something will change and something is happening. And not so much because of all the athletes, but because of just decent human beings that see the problem and want to be a part of fixing the problem. But when I look at athletes, right, especially on the WNBA side, WNBA players have, in my opinion, been at the forefront of racial injustice for so long. That's just what we do, and we see the strength and the power in using our voices. And even in the NBA, when you look at LeBron and Carmelo and D-Wade and Chris Paul, a year or so ago when they took the stance at the ESPYs and had a discussion about it, it's always been there. I think somewhere in our minds, we just felt like, well, you know, it'll change without us really having to make a change. And now I think with the pandemic and everyone kind of being forced to sit down and stay at home, it's just really made us watch the news and things have really come to the forefront. And I think now people of all races are seeing it and are realizing something has to change. If something doesn't change, our world is headed in an awful place. And I'm just excited to be able to see blacks, whites, Hispanics, Asians, all different races that are protesting and marching in the streets and are being a voice for all of us.
Talking to Cheryl Swoops again, assistant coach at Texas Tech, started a nonprofit a bit ago, Back to Our Roots, BTOR22.com is the website for that. And obviously we just saw something else going on in the world with the protests and everything. And then it happened in sports in NASCAR. And now it turned out the story, and I know you were on Outside the Lines talking about this as well, with Bubba Wallace, was a noose found in his garage. The FBI came in and said, well, that particular rope had been there since last October, but we know everything that it set up off, and we saw the support from the other drivers. What was your general thought about that and then how the story has ended?
Well, you know, my general thought about it were a few things. First of all, with Bubba taking a stance and, you know, not being afraid to stand up and speak out and kind of be alone, you know, being the only African-American driver in NASCAR, that's huge for him to just step up and say enough is enough. And then for his fellow drivers to stand behind him, and for NASCAR to come out and say, we hear you, we see you, we're going to do something about it, and to have all the Confederate flags taken down, I think is huge. And my initial thoughts were, whoever did it, and I saw it somewhere, I said, there's a special place in hell for people who do things like that, and I still believe that. And now when I see what the FBI investigation came back with, it hurts me, because a lot of people out there are saying, well, Bubba made it up, or NASCAR made it up for attention. Bubba doesn't need the attention. That part makes no sense to me. But here's what I'm still very confused with. I don't care if the noose was found 5 years ago. At the end of the day, it's still a noose. So if someone saw it and found it in there in October of 2019, why wasn't it brought to someone's attention then? Why didn't someone take it down then? Why didn't they talk about it then? Because to me, there's still a problem with that. What I liked about what Bubba said was, this isn't going to break me. It's not going to scare me. I don't know. It's not my place to say if the investigation was real or not. There's so many different layers to this whole situation to me, and I still see a problem with it.
Yeah, and that's why the support that Bubba got from so many of those drivers, I think, is going to be so significant going forward, because he says it will not break him, but you're going to need all the support you can going forward. As Cheryl Swoops is with us. And Cheryl, we've seen some WNBA players be about it. Maya Moore basically ended her career for the foreseeable mm-hmm. future to fight for people who she believes are wrongly accused. And now we see Renee Montgomery doing the same. What do you make of players who are in their prime and have the ability to really cash in on their athletic prowess, basically saying, hey, that's great and all, but I feel like there's a bigger issue for me right now?
Listen, I'm so glad you brought Maya Moore up, because I said this the other day. I do not think she's getting enough recognition for what she is doing. Maya, one of the best players that's ever played the game, and as you said, in her prime, walked away from the game 2 years ago, didn't tell anyone about it, didn't get permission, and just said, listen, there's something bigger going on and something more important, something bigger than basketball, and just said, I am going to continue, or at least start, my fight for social justice and criminal justice reform. So kudos to her. I think what Maya is doing is huge. And absolutely, she deserves more recognition for it. But I know she didn't do it for recognition. And then, as you said, Renee Montgomery the other day just decided that she was going to do the same thing. And I think right now where we are as athletes, I think we're finally starting to realize the power that we hold. And, you know, in the WNBA and NBA, I would say 80% of the athletes are African-American. And I think at some point, if we don't use our platform and start speaking up and using our voices for change, no one is going to listen to us. And I think finally right now, people are real athletes, especially are realizing, look, this is so much bigger than me. It's so much bigger than the game. It's so much bigger than my family. This is about our race. And this has been going on forever and ever and ever. And I think we always have just sat back and said, let someone else handle it. Let someone else fix it. Someone else will take care of it. And I think everyone is tired. And so for Renee to take that stance, and I know Tiffany Hayes yesterday said she's not going to be playing this season either, you know, and I'm not judging any player whether they choose to play or choose not to play, but for the players that are saying, I'm not going to play, there's something bigger out there for me and something more important that I want to focus on and work on, I think it's huge for all of them to do that.
Again, the nonprofit that Cheryl is a part of founding, Back to Our Roots, you can check it out, btor22.com, to help encourage youth to accept their differences, learn about their culture, and show them how the sports world can connect people from all over the world. Cheryl, we appreciate certainly the cause that you are championing, your voice in all of this, and your time with us today. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Stay safe.
Thanks, Cheryl.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Here you go. You have to be at Golic and Wingo. You have
all right.
It's Golic and Wingo.
Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, yeah. Homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com.
Again, Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
You know, if I've said one thing about you over the years, I've always said you're a bad mamma jamma. I just want you
whatever,
to know
Trey.
I just wanted you to
whatever.
Know
Halbert.
Shut up.
Look at him. He's a bad mamma jamma.
Whatever.
So, Trey, you've had 4 hours to digest it at this point. I was starting to get worried about you, your maybe-isms, your teleprompter question marks after every statement around Major League Baseball. I understand if you want to maintain a healthy skepticism and a question mark about every sport going forward, that's your prerogative. But if you're just going to treat Major League Baseball
Bobby Brown and Carl Carlton in the same segment.
I'll mix whatever I want. I'm drunk with power over in this seat in my shorts.
Side A.
Are you ready to come around on Major League Baseball?
Doug Glanville is with me, so I will be cautiously optimistic. How about that?
All right. Well, for everyone else, Major League Baseball has finally gotten through. Their postseason has taken root. The players have agreed to the policies surrounding the medical care, all the health and safety initiatives they're going to need to take place going forward. So we are good to go right now with Major League Baseball season in theory at this point. As we know, a number of teams have had positive tests, all these things that we expected on the way coming back in with this. But at this point in time, we will have baseball, much the same as every other league. They face the uncertainty that comes with the virus, but they have finally set the plans at the very least.
They're expanding rosters. Taxi squad will be sizable as well because you're going to have to replace players because you're going to get positive tests. We know you're playing your division opponents 10 times each. You go to the geographically close division in the other league and play them 4 times each. That's your 60 games. Designated hitter in both leagues. And then the one real change, and it's just for this year, is if you get to extra innings because they want to speed the games up, is you put a runner on second base to start the inning off, you know.
Love it. Love it.
No baseball person likes it.
No.
I mean.
Not a single one.
Not only like it, they despise
it. We thought we were going to lose Doug Glanville.
Oh, we really did because
we thought that was the end.
Thought is you're not getting baseball, you're just going to sacrifice the guy over to third, try and get him in. Even it's not sudden death if it's at the top of the inning. Obviously the bottom, still gets to bat. So what's a better way? Man on second with one out. Someone said, and why couldn't you just do it? Just have a tie. Just for this year.
Hockey did it forever.
You don't want to make the games long. Just for this year again. Just have a tie.
Honestly, that's brilliant. But baseball's heads would explode as well on that one.
They would. Yeah. But just again.
We had one in the All-Star game.
I mean, their heads exploding now.
I don't know if you heard.
Their heads exploding now with the guy on second, basically. So just have a tie.
What about in an effort to move the game along? You have a tie as an option after you do two, Nah, never mind. That idea wasn't going to work. I workshopped it on the fly. We were in the
I guess you would have to.
I'm glad you said you workshopped it on the fly because really we're all steamrolling at one point towards the king of something, someone workshopping on the fly. Stugott's golden at bat. I mean, we're headed way.
Why don't we do a home run derby? Yeah. Someone said pick 3 guys from each team. You get X amount of pitches and the most knocked out of the park. You know, you end the game that way. It's kind of like, you know, in soccer and in hockey.
Penalty shots.
Yeah, just to do that. Something that would be exciting to watch, and while in the other sports it's the norm of part of theirs, this is really only about this year, so try something.
You know what we should
I know
do
they
do.
Are with a man on second, which started in the beer leagues, quite honestly, the beer softball leagues, not minor league baseball.
You know what we should really do if we're going to do this, which would be great, is to, while we're doing this, put a dedicated camera on a group of baseball purists or seam heads, as you guys know, and literally watch their heads explode as we do the crazy stuff.
I would be all for that. We know the players aren't going to be wearing microphones this time around, so we're going to have to look for something. And that was the interesting part is Doug Glanville, when he came on, said he was interested to see what sort of innovations come from this that we could potentially take. Maybe he means more on the field in the way that they're going to have to approach certain pitching situations, understanding the disadvantage pitchers' arms are going to be at coming off of this break and a short ramp-up period going into this, because we're not seeing them in a number of other ways, certainly with any sort of playoff expansion or anything like that. That got tabled in all of this. And then certainly the idea of no players mic'd up, some of the things that we saw not only in spring training in the early portion that we all really like, but that we had seen in other leagues be successful.
And then the hardest thing, without question, you cannot spit and you cannot lick your fingers. The pitchers will take a wet cloth out to the mound. So instead of licking their fingers like most do before pitch, they will have to use the wet cloth. And there's no spitting, whether it's tobacco. No spitting.
Are there going to be spitting police?
Thank God. You know what would have sent it off the rails and it would have said no deal? If they would have said no licking your fingers, no spitting, no scratching yourself. Yeah. They said, nope, can't do it.
It's impossible. Can't do it. I will say the wet towel, interesting option, because I do remember I used to have a little hand towel when I was a center and I would lick my hands, but when the hand towel would get wet enough, I would actually wet my hands on that. Maybe that's a more realistic alternative than we gave it credit for.
So spitting's going to be the thing.
Is there going to be like a secret spit patrol? Is that what we're looking at here?
Depends on how much you spit.
It's impossible.
It's like cursing at your grandma's house. You got to get used to not doing it.
Yeah. And then you'll do it in the bathroom. All right. Coming up on Thursday's Golden Wingo, we're going to book stuff and we'll have much more. Stay with us. We might even spit. Maybe.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.